Praise God. I would like to know that the pastors were going to do, I should have told them, we still need to do neighbor looking time. We all look forward to, at least I do. I get to poke Steve at neighbor looking time. Praise God. It's the only time. He tried to tell me that just because my birthday's over, you know, my birthday was yesterday, that I can't tell him what to do now. I said, We are going to have a different service today. We're going to do some testimonies today. Praise God. And we have four of us that are going to speak. And we are first going to hear from Wanda Bowser. I'm sorry. Wanda, I wanted you to come back. Praise God.
Good morning, Oasis Christian Center and Facebook family and friends. My name is Wanda Bowser, and I'm here this morning to give my testimony. If it was not for God, I would not be standing here today. On October the 17th, 2001, about 7:20 p.m., I had left my job, my place of work, to go make a bank deposit. And for my employer, the events would follow would be nothing short of a miracle and a testimony of God's covering and His grace. Wanda was sitting in her car at a CB&T bank on Forest Road. All of a sudden, I seen a man walk through the parking lot. So I just sat in my car. I thought, well, he's going to go to the ATM machine. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. So I got a little scared. And I said, well, I'm just going to pull off and call my supervisor and not make this deposit. So as I went to pull off to leave, he was down beside my car back door, waiting for me to open my door to get out to make the bank. So as I go to pull off, he fires a .38 pistol through my window, my car window. It went in behind my left ear, and I swallowed the bullet. And all I could say that night, I had to drive to get help. And all I could say, I was on my way to church. It was on a Wednesday night. I said, God, please don't let me die. God, please. Don't let me die. He led me to the right house. I seen a lady in their house light on. Not knowing what subdivision I was pulling in or who I was going to meet, but I turned up in that driveway, and they always say there's a light at the end of a tunnel. And that was my light. This woman was sitting in her car with her car light on. She opened the door. I vaguely could stand out and holler, can you please call the paramedics? I've been shot. Well, she went in to get her husband. He came out there. I was bleeding profusely. Didn't know whether I was going to live or die from minute to minute. But my God... But, my God, she went in and got her husband. He came out there, and I said, I am so weak. Just let me lay in the grass. And he said, no, I want you to sit up here on this brick wall. And come to find out, I didn't know this till the next day. I had to go to emergency surgery. They had to reconstruct my whole left jawbone where it shattered my jaw. And messed up a lot of my teeth. But thank God I got them fixed. I'm standing here. I'm not trying to, but I'm standing here. You would never know I've been shot and looking beautiful as ever. But I tell you. So he came out and he assisted me till the paramedics got there. My oldest sister talked to the young man and his wife. And they told her, he said, I knew she was fine by the pupil of her eyes. because God led me to that house because he was a retired paramedic. So he knew I was okay, but I didn't, other than I was asking God. But God spared my life for a reason. I was in church back then, going, and I strayed, got out of church. I found this church home here, and I love it. The people are wonderful, and I just give all the glory to him, because I wouldn't be here today. And I'm doing what he wants me to do, and I'm going to continue to do what he wants me to do. I'm going further than what I am now, and I give all the glory to the Lord above. And I want to read this verse. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Thank y'all so much.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Wanda. Oh, God is amazing. Miss Betty is now going to give us her testimony. I'm sorry, I did get out of order. I surprised you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I forgive you, Jody. My name is Betty, and I want to thank God for helping my son go through a liver transplant. He worked for a labor union that would start in the spring and end in the fall every year. Now, it was time for him to start back to work. After he had worked about 4 days, he noticed he had trouble walking on his leg. So his wife made him a doctor's appointment. This was the beginning where his life took a turn for the worse. He went to the doctor, and as soon as the doctor saw his leg, he sent him to the ER because his leg was twice the size of the other leg. It had a blister on top and back of his leg. The doctor had no explanation of what was going on. So he gave him some medicine and ran some tests. Thank God his leg started to heal. After 16 days in the hospital and upon his release, the doctor told him that he had hepatitis C and cirrhosis of the liver. The doctor sent him to a liver specialist who told him he could not work until further notice and that he had liver cancer and that he wouldn't make it without a liver transplant. Then he went back and forth for multiple testings to make sure he was fit and qualified to receive a transplant. So my son and daughter-in-law, they waited. In the meantime, a co-worker that worked with my daughter-in-law had a son that had passed away, and she wanted to donate his liver to my son. So my son and daughter-in-law went to the hospital to wait for final approval. In the meantime, the doctor did a rush order to extract all of his teeth because they were all bad. They had to come out before he could have the transplant. Then some bad news happened. The surgery fell through. Then the hospital informed him that they had to take him off of the transplant list because his insurance wouldn't cover a hospital out of network. So the hospital transferred him to another hospital. Thank God for more than one hospital. Amen. Where he would be in network. Then they put him back on the transplant list. Then he was able to continue his radiation treatments. Then a friend told him about a contest going on at a local dentist, a $10,000 smile. Them things are expensive, you know. Then all he had to do was to make a short video on his phone and tell them why they should pick him. So he decided to enter the contest. After a period of time, the dentist called him because he had won a nice pair of dentures. What a blessing that was. Then the doctors informed him that he had three spots that showed tumors. Then one radiologist said he was unsure. It could have been four. So they sent the x-ray to another hospital to take a closer look and reviewed them, and they said they didn't see the same thing that they saw. Look how God's good God is. So he was fine to go further. In the meantime, the doctor informed him the cancer had gotten bigger. So they scheduled him for a procedure to split the cancer in half. Think about that. Split it in half. But before he could, listen to this. Before he could keep that appointment, his doctor called him and told him they had found a liver. Just in time. That he needed to get to the hospital right away. He was so excited and thankful. He told his wife to call me, call my mama, and tell me the good news. So I called the airport to get a flight. I got one the same day. How does that happen? That don't happen. You don't get no flight the same day. But see, God knew I needed to be there. When I got to the hospital, he was in ICU. He had already had the surgery, and they had already removed the breathing tube, and he was coherent. The next day, he was sitting up in a chair. Then after a couple of days, he was out of ICU. Then he was on the move. He was walking the hallways, going up and down stairs, and even going outside. You couldn't hold him down. All the doctors and nurses were amazed how well he was doing. After 9 days in the hospital and upon his release, the doctors wanted to talk to him about his old liver. They found, listen to this, they found 7 cancerous lesion tumors on his old liver. If the doctors had seen them on the x-ray, he wouldn't have been able to have the transplant. But God took care of every detail and every situation in my son's life. And I just thank him and I give him all the glory and praise. When our kids go through something, God hears our prayers, and I thank him for it.
Yes, he does. Praise God. Praise God. We're now going to hear from Chrissy. She is going to give us her testimony.
Hello. I'm Chrissy, member here at Oasis Christian Center. I've been coming here several years. As most of y'all know, my daughter moved to Washington State in 2019, and I've been up there probably five times since she moved to see her. And in February of this year, my grandson was turning 3, so I was flying up there for a week, and I got on the plane, and you know, like when you're going down the aisles and you're looking at the numbers, they never line up with the seat. You know, like you're in 17, but then you sit down in 18. So that happened to me. So I was in the wrong row, so I got up and I moved to the row in front of me. And I'm sitting there and I had the window seat away from the wing. And this lady and man came and sat down, and they had been running through the airport. Like, they had a connecting flight, so they were running to get to where we were, so they held the plane for them to get there. And this lady sits down beside me, and my father had a heart attack in 2017, and when you come that close to losing a parent or anyone, they're more precious. So I called my father to tell him that I was on the plane and that I was leaving, and I always call my daddy, daddy. He's not dad, he's daddy. So I'm on there, and I'm like, the flight's fixing to take off, daddy, and I love you, and I'll let you know as soon as I land in Washington. So the lady's sitting beside me, and she goes, is that your dad? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she was like, and she started crying, and she said, I lost my father 3 years ago. She said, and it's something that you never get over. And so I just start talking to this lady for 5.5 hours on a flight to Washington State. But I never knew her name. I never told her my name. I never asked her her name, nor her husband's name. So we talked, and it was like the best 5.5 hour flight I think I've ever had. And so we get off the plane, and I'm like, you know, it was so nice to meet you. It was so, she was just so wonderful. And I found out that she lived like where my daughter lived. So she was like probably 15 minutes from where my daughter lived now when she moved. So we're there the whole week, and like I'm there and I'm telling my daughter every day I mentioned this lady on the plane and the way she was, and you know, our interaction, it was like I had known her forever but had just met her on a plane to Washington. So it's I was only there for a week, so the day before my flight was to take off, we were like running around doing shopping, like getting souvenirs, and you know, I'd like to bring my father weird stuff to try from different places. So we was doing all this stuff, and then we went into Costco's, like that was our last thing before we left, and we was going back to her house. And you know, it was like full mask, so you couldn't see anyone from like the nose up down. You didn't know what they looked like. So the whole flight there, she literally, I saw this, only her eyes. And she had a baseball hat on. So I didn't really, she just had some brown eyes. That's all I can tell you. She had brown eyes. And so we get into the store and we're walking in. My daughter shows them her ID card. And we probably got 20 feet into Costco's. And somebody taps me on my shoulder. And I turned around and it was the lady from the plane. And she said, you're not going to believe this. She said, but I was crying this morning to my husband and asking him, because she had been praying to God to see me before I left. And a state the size of Washington State, which is massive, God put me in a Costco so that I could see that lady. We stood there and talked for about 30 minutes, easy 30 minutes. She met my daughter. She met my grandchildren. She told my daughter that she would come and get her and take her to her church, and that she would, you know, try to help my daughter find a church to take my grandson, because Joel is so curious about God. He's 5, and he's so curious. Every night before he goes to sleep, he prays. He prays for me, his family, his daddy, all the other police officers that are around them, the people that my son-in-law comes in contact with. So he's very curious about God. And this lady loves God so much. And he brought her to me on a plane to give to my daughter so that she could have a connection. And this lady sent me a friend's request standing in Costco. She sent my daughter a friend's request. She comments on every single post that my daughter puts on Facebook about how wonderful and, you know, just, and it was such a connection. And, you know, so this was about divine connections. And you never realize the impact that you can have on a person. And it doesn't always have to be about a trauma. It was a lady on a plane that was still grieving her father's passing. And me being able to call my father and tell him that I loved him was like her being able to tell her own father that she loved him again. And that's how she took it. She took it as like almost like an extension from me to him, so that she could hear those words being spoken to her father, to my father, for her father. And it was so powerful. And honestly, if it hadn't been for the pastors, like, constantly, you know, teaching us about divine connections and, you know, like, where God is working and he's there. And it's, you don't even realize what it is. You don't know that she needed me as much as I needed her. I needed her for my daughter. She needed me for my father. But it was such a beautiful thing. And, like, it was just, it was wonderful. And then to have seen her again, to be able to, like, truly, like, hug her neck and tell her what a blessing it was to meet her was the most wonderful thing. And I think it is something that I will remember for the rest of my life. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I feel like if we can just, you know, like, open our eyes to recognize where he's there. And he's there, like, silently. It's not always this banner. It's this silent little connection that you feel with people, and you feel it deep in your soul. It's not just this, like, I genuinely like you, like Wanda Phillips. I have a connection with her that is just, it's beyond words, and I love her. And Natasha, I love her. And this lady, she hit right in there, like, important. And it's someone that I will never, ever forget. So, Cindy, if you're listening, I love you. And that's my story.
Praise God. Praise God. So, I am going to give you my testimony, how God healed me of cancer. Again, most of you know me. My name is Jody. I struggled writing out my testimony because I was getting too deep. I feel like I have a story to share with women. And sometime I would really love to have just the women of the church and let me go into more depth, more detail that men just don't want to hear. Okay? In November of 18, I treated myself, again, for a common infection that most of us females will get at one point or another. I can remember that I just got so sore, okay? So we were going to Jacksonville for Thanksgiving at my sister's, and I had to end up going to the pharmacy. Thought I was going to have to go see a doctor, but went to the pharmacy. Pharmacist recommended something I try. I tried it. It worked, and then it didn't. So then other people were telling me, well, try this. I tried it. It worked for a while. Then it would stop. So this kept going on, so I finally went to my family doctor and told her what was going on. And she thought, because I was postmenopausal, I had had a December of 2014, I had a hysterectomy. So she thought, well, you know, maybe it's just what they call vaginal atrophy. So she put me on a hormone cream. It worked for a while, and again, it stopped. So I kept trying different things. This went on and off the whole year of by now it's, what, 2019. So I finally said, you know, I told Steve, I said, enough's enough. I said, I've got to go see a GYN doctor. So I went to the GYN doctor, and when I went, I really didn't like her at first. I felt like she was cold. But she tells me, she goes, well, I don't see nothing. I don't see nothing. And I thought, oh, my God, how can you not see anything? And she says, well, we're just going to run some tests. And I said, okay. So she ran these tests, put me on another cream again, sent me on my way. Again, the cream helped at first, and then it stopped. 2 weeks later, I was calling them back. I said, please, please, let me come now. I need something done. So I went back in, and literally, the doctor examined me, and she said, oh, my, oh, my. I didn't see this the first time. I didn't see this before. Oh, my. And she said, I need to do a punch biopsy. And I said, right now? Right here? Down there?
And she says, yes, I need to do a biopsy right now. Then I was saying, oh my, oh my, oh my. I don't know if you know what a punch biopsy is, but a punch biopsy is a little instrument. It's round. It is sharp as a razor. Basically, it's punched in your skin, twist it, pulled out, takes a piece of tissue out so that they can send it off for a sample. So that happened. She said it would probably take about a week for the results, and she was going to be on, this was like 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving, a week prior to Thanksgiving. Excuse me. She said, I'll be on vacation, but I'll be watching. Needless to say, 2 days before Thanksgiving, I had to go back. I was to a point where, and I think you may remember me even coming into church, I couldn't even sit down right. Everything, it hurt. So I went in and the nurse talked to me, and she said that the results came back and that it showed what they call VIN2, which stands for vulva intraepithelial neoplasia stage 2. There are three stages of VIN, and then it goes into invasive cancer. So she says, we're going to get you in to see a doctor. She said, because the holidays are coming up, we need to get you something for pain. So I saw the doctor. They gave me something for the pain. She gave me yet another cream. So this was a steroid cream. And again, it helped for a while, and then it didn't. So then they were like, well, we have to make you an appointment with an oncologist. And I thought, an oncologist? Why do I need to go see an oncologist? You didn't say it was, you know, the C word. You didn't say that. And then they said I had to see an oncologist. I could not see the oncologist until January 7th. And this was 2 days before Thanksgiving. I saw Dr. Sefkanos on January 7th. Steve was with me. And when he did the exam, you know, of course, Steve went out. And when he was done, he said, well, do you want to bring your husband back in or do you want me to talk to you now? And I thought, well, go ahead, you know. I mean, I was believing that this was something simple. I was believing God. He's going to give me the right medicine. This is all going to be cleared up. It's going to go away. I'm going to be okay. And the next words out of his mouth shocked me. He says, I'm going to be honest. I think it's cancer. And I was in total shock and denial. I said, no, it can't be. It can't be. Steve and I cried in the doctor's office. And I'm waiting to have an appointment made because he says I need to do surgery January 15th. So the very next week I was going to have surgery. So we're still believing. We're still believing that it's not going to be there. This is going to be something simple. And we're going to get through this. So I had surgery on January 15th, and that was on a Thursday. Saturday morning, he didn't really tell me anything a whole lot about, you know, what he had found and all. So Saturday morning, I was in my room by myself, and the doctor came in with the nurse, and he says, the pathologist called me last night, and he says, it's cancer. It was, I think they call it the squamous cell carcinoma. There were three tumors in the vulva, three tumors. Two were able to be cut out completely. The third one was around my urethra. So if I'm remembering correctly, I had a radical vulvectomy with a urethrectomy and vaginectomy, and I may be saying all them wrong. So there was a lot of cutting that happened. So because of the one tumor that they could not cut out completely, I had to have chemo and radiation. So they can only take so much of your urethra, or they have to take your bladder. You know, so I'm believing God. God, I will be healed. I will be healed. I will be healed of this. You know, whatever has to be done, I will be healed. Then the doctor said to me that after, well, he sent me for a PET scan like 2 weeks later, I think, after surgery. And praise God, the PET scan came back that the cancer had not moved anywhere else. That was the only place that it was. So he said to me, though, that it is recommended that you remove the inguinal lymph nodes. You know, just because everything is so close there. And more than likely, I think something I was reading, the radiation might have caused me problems had the inguinal lymph nodes not been removed. So on February 5th of 2020, I had that surgery and had those done. And praise God, thank you, Lord, you brought my mama with me. You brought my mama on February 4th, and my mama stayed until the weekend of Memorial Day. She stayed with me that long, you know. And then at the same time that I'm going through everything, my granddaughter got really sick and was put in the hospital in Atlanta at Choa. And so we're praying for me. We're praying for her. You know, thank God she's a beautiful, thriving, growing little girl. Just she's my heart. So, and then COVID hit too. So all of this was taking place. With prayer, I started radiation, it was in March. I'm sorry, I had these dates wrote down and now I don't know what I did with them. But I started radiation in March and they said I had to go through 33 treatments. The same week that I started radiation, I started on a Monday. On Thursdays, every Thursday, I would go for chemo. Every single day, I had to be there for radiation. Of course, at first, it wasn't that bad. My mom was there to support me. Steve was there if I needed him. So when you get radiation, what you get this week affects you the next week. So about 2-3 weeks into the treatments, here come the side effects. The side effects were worse than what I had been going through. And I remember it being almost 3/4 of the way through the treatment, Pastor Rock and Pastor Sharon called me. And I was probably having the worst day of all of it. You know, I had went in that Monday to the doctor for treatment, and I asked to see the doctor because I couldn't stand it anymore. I couldn't take it. And I thought, Lord, I know I can't stop, but I can't handle this. I can't take it. I saw the doctor. He said, let's just do treatment today and tomorrow, and then we'll give you a break Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He said, we'll start back on Monday, and that should help you. And I was like, okay. We'll do this. Well, needless to say, the next day I woke up, I was in tears, I was hurting, and I said, I can't go. I called him crying, and I said, I just can't come. I can't do it. And I believe that was the day that Pastor Rock and Pastor Sharon called me, and Pastor Sharon said, Pastor Rock had gotten a word for you, and it was, be strong. Be strong. Every day from that day on, I prayed, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong. You can ask Steve. I would be crying and I'd still be saying, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong. I can do this, I can do this. I can get through this. You know, even after the surgery with the, when the lymph nodes, they put drains in, of all things, I get an infection from the drains. My body was rejecting the drains. I end up in the hospital for 5 days with that. I ended up with abscesses from the radiation treatment things. And I would cry, but I was still believing on that I was being healed. I was crying and saying, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong. If you think you can't get through something, you just keep telling yourself, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong, and you will get through it. You know, I receive many, many, many cards, and this bag is filled with the many cards that I had gotten. But one of the cards, and to this day, I'm sorry, I already have it out, stands out to me, is faith, strength, patience, and hope. Without those things, I would have never made it. Without the love of my husband giving me the support, without my mom being there, was such a blessing. On April 28th, I took my last radiation treatment. I got to ring the bell. I got to ring the bell, and there's my certificate that I got to ring the bell. And that was April 28th, 2020. I have seen the doctor now every 3 months since all of this. Every 3 months, and every 3 months, he gives me a clean bill and says, everything looks good, everything looks okay. So as of April 28th of this year, I consider myself cancer-free. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So I just want to read you a little something. Faith gives substance to hope. Notice it was her faith that made a demand on the healing anointing that was upon Jesus. Faith gave substance to her hope, and healing was manifested in her body. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's in Hebrews 11:1. Hope is important, but hope lacks substance until filled with faith. Hope is only a goal setter. Her hope was to be healed, but hope didn't heal her. Her faith gave substance to her hope. Her faith gave substance to and brought about the manifestation of healing that was already hers because of the covenant. But she had to call for it. Look at the words of Jesus. All things are possible to them that believe. Mark 9:23. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. Luke 17:6. He that believeth hath. John 3:36. Whosoever shall say, he shall have. Mark 11:23-24. It is the Bible principle of believing and calling for things that are not yet manifest. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Pastors, would you like to turn it over to you and close out? Give us your word. I'll put them on the spot. Get them up here. Praise God.
Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Those were awesome, awesome testimonies. And thank y'all so much for being obedient to God. Amen. I know there's people I know here in the sanctuary that has really been touched and blessed by each and every testimony this morning. And I know those that are watching by Facebook or whatever form of media you'll be watching this by, I know you're touched and blessed. And I really feel like, each testimony touched somebody personally. Something that they may be going through right now or may be going to go through. I believe that the Lord used each and every testimony to minister to each, to certain needs, to particular needs. And so, just carry those testimonies in your heart, amen, because we serve a mighty God. He is a miracle worker, amen. He delivers, he heals, amen, he restores, and there is just no way that I would even want to try to live without God, amen, because even though if you do go through a trial, go through a problem, God's going to bring you out, amen. He's going to be right there with you, and he's going to give you the strength and you You know, he loves to do good things for his people. He loves to, you know, we just need to just give him glory. It's not anything with us. It is all because he is a good God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us. Pastor, you got something you want to say? Amen. Well, let's just close out the service this morning with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you thanking you, Father God, that you are a good God, that you are a healer, Father God, that you are a restorer, Father God, that you are the way maker. Even when there seems to be no way, Father God, you are so good and you love us so much. And we thank you for that, Father God. And Lord, I just ask you to touch each and every person that listened to this today. Those, Father God, that are hearing this, these testimonies, I just ask you to bless them, that these testimonies will just stay in their hearts and just remind them that you are the deliverer, that you are the healer, that you are the strengthener, that you will be there. You are the I am for everything that we have need of. We thank you for it, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Have a blessed, blessed week.